from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, GEICO, and by EverBank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we go, Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco. After the Jags fall 25-16 to the Minnesota Vikings in Week 14, 2-11. 2-11.
Yeah,
remember
it's not
the
good.
Remember the optimism of August?
No, that's so far.
Like a long time ago.
Wow, how things have changed. 8 consecutive losses now for the Jaguars. 3 division games to go. 2 on the road, 1 here at EverBank Field. We'll break it all down tonight. Special teams issues, defensive collapse at the end. The offense went into a shell late. And you know what you're getting into now, JP? Uh-oh, draft
time. We're getting into the debate, is this the worst team in the history of the franchise?
No.
It's not?
No. Not even close.
95.
Who was?
The team that the first year. The
expansion.
Dave, no. The first year Dave and Gus were here, that team was the worst team. I don't care what the win loss is. Go look at the margin of victory. Go look how they lost those games. Go look at the
– How many games did that team win?
I don't know.
4.
I don't remember. It doesn't
4.
Matter.
4.
Well.
They won 4 out of 5 after the bye.
It's in the conversation.
Yeah, I disagree, but that's fine.
It's not – this team is worse than the 95 team.
I mean, considering here's the expectations, I'm with you,
expectations, yes. I agree with you, Pete. Let me ask you this way. Which team has more talent, the 95 team or this team?
Well, you were on that team, so that 95 team did. No, that team did.
95? No.
The young kids are on that team.
No, Pete.
You.
Okay.
You. Jimmy.
Jimmy wasn't on the – oh, Jimmy was a special teams guy, but he wasn't a – he didn't do anything.
He caught passes at the end of that year.
No, he did not. He did nothing until 96.
Denver. No, it was 95.
Well, he had the kick return, but he did special teams. But he wasn't a receiving threat until 96.
But he was on the team.
Okay.
Brunell.
Okay.
There you go. Let's start right with Brunell. There is significantly better than the quarterback now. Come on, Tony. That team was more talented.
But on defense.
Okay.
Okay, Logeman was this better pass rusher than anybody around this team right now.
The linebackers.
My point.
Okay, the linebackers. You're saying the linebackers are better than this group?
No, the linebackers were not better.
The secondary is better than this group? No. No, Pete.
The defensive line was better.
Malik Jackson? We had a better three technique than Malik Jackson? Kelvin Pritchard was better than Malik Jackson?
No, but he wasn't. He wasn't that far off of him.
Okay, but he's not better.
That team was better, Tony. It's debatable, but that team was better.
The receivers?
They had a quarterback.
Okay, I'm going through position groupings. The receivers? What receivers were better?
What receivers are so good on this team?
Okay, so I'll just ask you this. Let me ask you it this way. Would you rather have had Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, and Allen Hurns, or I can't remember who's the receivers. Willie Jackson. was Cedric Tillman?
Jimmy.
Jimmy was not a receiver, Pete. He was the fifth guy.
But he was on the roster.
I know, but that's not – I'm talking about the 95 team that played. Now, Jimmy obviously was the best receiver ever to play in this organization, one of the best in the NFL, period.
Okay, you were the left tackle, slam dunk, right? Okay.
Fine.
Ben Coleman was better than either of the guards.
Ben Coleman played one game that year.
DeMarco played
right tackle. Jeff Novak was left guard.
He was better than any of the guards you got now. Was he not?
He was a good player, yeah.
But Ernest Givens was
Ernest
on the team.
Givens? I mean, he was at the end, though. Come on, Pete.
Oh, he was at the end.
He was at the end.
Played 9 games.
I'm just saying
that wasn't a good team, but they had Brunell, they had you, they had
James Stewart.
You had
James
Logeman.
Stewart was a good back. Schmenge.
You had Pritchett. Schmenge. Okay. Logeman and Schmenge are better pass rushing duo than anything they throw out there right now. Agreed?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
The linebackers in the secondary were
– The linebackers weren't good. But, you know, that was also
– Schwartz was pretty good as a rookie.
Schwartz was good that
year. Before he blew his knee out.
Yeah, Schwartz was good.
He was a good player.
Schwartz was like – before Schwartz blew his knee out, he was a lot like Puzlesny, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's young, though. He wasn't as smart as Puz. I mean, just because of the experience, my goodness. I mean, but athletically and the way he hit, yeah, absolutely. Brian was a very good player.
You don't – I mean, you forget the golden days of James Williams and Mark Williams.
Okay, thank you. I'll take Telvin and anybody else.
Well, you can't take Miles Jack because he didn't play, so he didn't count. He only played 12 plays yesterday.
He played.
12 plays.
Well, I'll take him on those 12 plays.
Okay. And then the secondary.
It's not even close.
No, the edge. No, it's not close.
But this is among the top three worst in franchise history.
I don't think so. This to me is the second biggest disappointment when it comes to expectations.
What was the biggest?
I would have said 2000 team.
Didn't that team have all kinds of injuries though?
It doesn't matter. We were 7-9. Go back and look how we lost games, Pete. We lost to the Redskins at home because of two like just awful turnovers in a one possession game.
And then the bomb down the middle when they're bombed.
Yeah,
but then
we lost the Cincinnati Bengals going up and down the field with turnovers and missed field goals
and
punt return.
Yeah, but Leon go down in training camp. That
yeah,
was
but
the year
we
Leon
but
went
Wiegert went to right tackle. Wiegert was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. This is arguably, okay. I'll say arguably the worst team in franchise history.
I just don't, because I look at talent wise. I mean, maybe. I don't know. It's hard to argue.
Because I got to get you started on the right foot tonight.
No,
I got to get you going.
He's trying hard.
Did
not
we
overjudge?
Pete, and it's hard for me, so I'm not even going to answer the question. I'm going to ask it because I'm so close to it, and I'm obviously very biased, and because I want us to be good, and I want to win, and I like everything about this organization. Did we just overjudge the talent?
Well, in hindsight, yes.
I mean, I'm asking you because you had this. I'm asking you because you had this team finishing much better.
So did a lot of people.
And you know what, Tony? We weren't alone. There were Gil Brand and guys all over the league were picking Peter King picking the Jaguars to win a division. No, we overrated the talent. Yes, and it all starts with the quarterback. We overrated the quarterback. I mean, if the quarterback plays like he did a year ago, let's just say, for the argument, what's their record right now?
I don't know.
I mean, they're in the hunt. They're a game under, maybe, 500. I mean, they're right there.
Right. And he hasn't. So there's your big regression. You've had regression, and you argued with me in a lot of spots earlier this year, but it's hard to deny that there's been regression in a lot of guys, particularly on the offense, Tony. Particularly on the offense.
Give me some Robinson.
Okay. Robinson.
I don't think A-Rob's had the year he had last year. That's stated in the obvious. I said it this morning. I said I think it's going to be a big offseason for a lot of guys.
So he regressed.
He's not having
Bortles.
He's not having the same year as last year, so, I mean, yes.
Bortles.
Not having the same year as last year.
A.J. Cann.
The last few weeks, early in the season, I would have said no, but he had a poor day yesterday, and he had not played up to the level that he had been the last few weeks.
Parnell.
I thought Jeremy played well yesterday. He got beat for a sack late, but it was, end of game.
But he hadn't played as well.
He played well yesterday against a good pass rusher, against a couple good pass rushers.
But he hasn't played as well this year as he did last year.
I don't know about that one.
All right, so there's four on offense.
No, I just said I don't know about that one, Pete. You can't just say.
Well, I know about that one. He's regressed. So there's four. There's four right there.
I love how he throws it in there. Hearns has been hurt all year. He's been hurt.
Banged up.
All right.
He was hurt last year, too, though.
Marquise Lee's better. How about that?
There's one.
Stick it in your pipe.
There's one. What?
I said stick that in your mouth.
There's one, though.
Okay, TJ Yeldon. Yeldon.
Has he improved that much?
I think he's better.
There's one. Now go to the other side of the ball. I'll give
you're
you
not give me
those.
You're not going to give me the other one, are you?
Marquise Lee, I gave you.
No TJ?
No.
Neil Sterling. There's another one. Bam. Mark it down. Okay. Neil Sterling. Ben Koyak.
Let's come back, guys, and do the defensive side of the ball. How about that? Let's take our time out here.
Defense, there's a lot of guys that have improved.
Yeah, see? That's positive, Pete. We like that, Pete.
First time ever, Pete.
We'll come back and break down the defensive side as well. Your calls in the second hour tonight. 355-NFL-1. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Some tackles now yesterday. That's the other thing. You know, not only explosive plays, but I didn't think it wasn't one of our better tackling days. I know you're going to ask, so I think it was around 14 missed tackles. So that's, you know, we haven't been in double-digit missed tackles for a while.
14 missed tackles for the Jags defense. 7 plays allowed of 20 or more yards. Yeah. 6 true ones. One was a 5-yard penalty, a 5-yard play with a penalty. Either way, not good math for the Jaguars defense.
No, Telvin had a tough day. I thought it was probably Telvin's worst game. Missing tackles.
He seemed like he was whiffing all over the place.
Missed a lot of tackles.
There's one out in the open in the middle of the field. He just totally
whiffed. Stuff he doesn't usually do. He's had a great year and played really at a high level and just didn't have a great day. Sip missed a big tackle at the end of the game. There was a bunch. It was not – Gus said it. Bad day tackling, and it hurt. Turned plays that they should have got off the field into first downs. Which
Tony, when you watched the 22, was it missed tackles or was it bad angles? You know what I mean? Usually,
both.
Sometimes those missed tackles. Yeah,
both.
So it was both. Then, yep. So it was bad recognition as much as physically missing the tackles. Then
both. I mean, sometimes it was the angle. Sometimes just flat missed tackles. It was a bad day though overall.
As we went to break last time here on Jaguars Monday, we were discussing some of the offensive players that have improved over the year.
Yeah, and I'm not
happy. You guys disagree.
Well, yeah, Pete didn't give me one. I gave him one and on the regression side, and I'd like for him to give me one on the positive side. Mm.
Who'd you give? What do you mean, on the offense?
Yeah. TJ. Neil Sterling. I mean, that's an obvious one.
Yeah, I'll give you Neil Sterling. How's that?
Okay.
And then we're about to go to defense. And, Pete, you said that there's plenty of guys that have improved from last year on the defensive side.
Sip, Telvin,
Avery
Jones.
Has really improved.
Those three.
Avery Jones, Cyprian, and Telvin all have improved, like you said.
Most of the other guys,
most of the other guys are new.
I mean, Sen's improved. He was hurt all last year. He's played good football the last few weeks. Had a huge play on that. Fourth down stop.
Is Colvin better than he was a year ago?
No. But yeah, I don't know. No. He's not making the impact. Maybe they're not blitzing him as much as they did last year. But I wonder if it's about the same, but he gets overshadowed by how well Jalen's played and some of the other defensive backs. Remember, last year he was the best defensive back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not anymore. I mean –
Yeah, they haven't blitzed him a lot this year, have they?
Not as much.
Because he had four sacks or something last year.
Maybe even five, 4.5. It didn't seem like he does as much. Maybe he has, and he's just not getting home. I don't have the statistics in front of me. What are you laughing about?
you're nothing. Your diction. You can't say
statistics. I just said it. Statistics.
Congratulations. That's good.
God,
that's
JP,
real nice.
You're killing him tonight.
You want me to start on you?
Come on. Bring it, big boy.
It's JP's birthday today?
Happy 60th, JP.
Thanks, pal. Appreciate that.
I know he looks 60 as he's balding and he's got a pot belly and he wears and he wears clothes like a 60-year-old.
I like my sweater, okay?
I mean,
I like this sweater.
That is a very grandpa-like sweater today,
well,
JP.
Listen, it's
almost like you're going to sit on the rocking chair and have a pipe.
With the shirt with the button-down collar and the khaki Dockers that my grandpa wears.
It's great.
Or wore because he's not with us anymore. Mm-hmm.
So he looks like grandpa today. Is that what you're saying, Tony?
I mean, with the balding hair. And
it's real nice.
How old are you, JP?
I'm 35 years old.
You are one.
Damn, you're an old-ass looking 35-year-old.
I mean, seriously. So that's talk about my addiction.
You know what? I agree, and that's okay.
Hey, I mean, I'm 56, and I'm bald, and I'm fat.
Yes, you are.
JP, I don't look that when I was 35.
I look better than you do,
Pete. No, I think Pete actually looks better than you right now.
I don't know. On Jaguars.com, come on now.
I mean, your chin goes right to your chest.
High definition doesn't do you well, Pete. I got news for you.
Yeah, well, I can give you a couple one-fingered peace signs that show up good on that high-definition TV if you want me to.
We are on the web.
It's internet, baby.
It's on
Hey, JP, when I was 35, I know I didn't look like Grandpa.
Wow, Pete. Were you like 5 foot tall? What are you, 5'6"?
5'6", but I'm shrinking because I'm getting older. You know how that goes.
No, I don't.
Shrinking height-wise, going out fat ball season wise.
Yeah, but the problem with you, Pete, this year is you started fat and you've gotten fatter. Usually you are in
shape.
No.
You forgot what happened in August. Well, I didn't start fat. I was withering away.
Right. Yeah, withered away. I forgot. You got really sick.
So you're back to normal now.
They're making fun of me. I was sick. This guy's making fun of me.
I know, right? He's cold.
Oh, you're not sick anymore.
No soul.
You're not sick anymore, are you?
No.
Well, then good. You're
At least
fine.
I don't think I am.
You can make fun of people now.
Oh, God.
Is that how it works?
Well, yeah.
If you're not actually sick. By the way, while we're on this subject, I got to ask this. Tony, I was going to walk up to you and ask you for an autograph, but I wasn't sure it was Tony Baselli. This little guy, I was going to say, hey,
Where
I get an autograph from Mr. Baselli. What?
When did you see me?
Aren't you doing a commercial for DPS?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you heard that.
Hey, JP, have you heard that one yet?
No, I have not. No.
Oh, yeah. It's some
I'm not sure how you haven't because it's out there.
She goes up, aren't you Tony Baselli? I'm getting an autograph from Tony. That's not Tony Baselli. That's a little skinny guy. Something like that.
I'd rather be the skinny guy than the fat guy.
Yeah, well, you did Dr. DSLPPSSOPPO.
You didn't love saying that,
normal way. You didn't do it with diet and exercise. You took some kind of drugs or something.
I took no drugs.
Pete, you're next for this DPSPSCC guy.
I want to do it.
Let's hear your commercial again.
Oh, my commercial?
Yeah. No, let's move on. Let's talk about the defense. No one wants to hear this. I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, we do.
This is awful radio
Tony,
right now.
Tell Dr. DPSSOPPO.
His name's Dr. Foss, by the way.
When Dr. Foss is ready, I'm ready after the season.
All right, I'll tell him. My goodness.
How do we make this?
I don't know. Can we get back to defense?
Yeah, let's come back and get back to defense.
I'd be the best spokesman ever for that because I could actually pronounce my words in the commercial.
Pete, did you?
Good call.
Did you watch the game, Pete?
Yes. It was bad.
I want to come back. I want to talk about Blake when we come back.
Okay.
I thought Blake was better yesterday.
I want to talk about Blake when we come back.
Yeah. I think we can do that. We'll come back and discuss Blake Bortles, his day, third best rating day of the season for the Jaguars quarterback. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
You know, I know for me personally, it's I can't wait to play on Sunday. The following week and get another opportunity and hopefully try and erase some of this stuff that's going on and maybe wake up from this nightmare. And it's just kind of, you think about more so, with these last 3 weeks left and then having to live 6 months until you get another opportunity, I think is more fearful than counting down the days so it's over. I don't want to have to go through those 6 months.
Blake Bortles, yesterday after the game, the Jags lost to the Vikings. J.P. Shadrick with the Oaf, Tony Baselli, and the Oompa Loompa, Pete Prisco. Glad you're with us on Jaguars.com, Jaguars Radio tonight.
Hey, Pete, I got a call during the break from someone who knows you well, and they said you're lying.
About what?
That you're not 5'6".
I would agree with that.
That you're 5'4".
I agree with that, too.
Who's wrong. Telling you?
I would tell you. Tell Brunel to quit the call during the break.
It was not Brunel.
It's somebody in that the grouping, though, knowing you.
It's not an ex-player. I'll put it that way.
Depends on which convenience store Pete is walking out of, I guess. Right?
Most of them, it says 5'4".
Yeah. So, Blake Bortles, we just heard from the quarterback there, looking forward to, somebody asked him, are you looking forward to the offseason where you can really kind of break this thing down and tinker? No, he's looking forward to the next game. He wants to go out and play more games. Well, if you play like you did the other day or yesterday, it was a better performance overall. You want to repeat some of that and then improve upon that. How do you do that if you're Blake?
Well, the reason I want to talk about Blake is he has been public enemy number two. Public enemy number one is the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And right after the head coach, it's going after the quarterback, which is, by the way, how it works in the NFL. I mean,
and understandable this year.
No, I'm that's the nature of the business. And so if we're going to go after him and we're going to criticize him, which everyone has, and we've talked about, I think we've been pretty honest on this show about Blake's positives, negatives, and when he's not played well, we've said so. He was over 60% completion, 257 yards. Now I hear someone's, some of that's in garbage time. What, 40 of it at the end? Okay, great. One touchdown, zero interceptions, 91.8 quarterback rating. Not saying that's great. That's solid, good football.
Didn't turn it over.
And some of the throws he made were outstanding. The touchdown to B. Walters was big-time throw.
Yeah, and it brings you back to where has that been?
I don't know. And I thought yesterday his motion was tighter. Outside of the my goodness throw to A-Rob where it was going end over end in the first quarter, where I don't know where that came from, thought he threw the ball well. I mean, looked good, was accurate for the most part. And everyone will bring up, what about this one or that one? So I was talking to someone I was actually on Jeff and Dan's show this morning, and they brought up, well, he missed this or he missed that. And I said, okay, fair enough. I said, do you think Sam Bradford's a good quarterback? And he had a good day yesterday. And the answer was yes. He threw for 297 yards. Okay. There were three passes that he airmailed open receivers. And I'm pretty sure if you go around the NFL, most quarterbacks are going to have a couple throws that are off. The problem is here right now is it's been tough for Blake, and he's not had a great year, so the microscope is even tighter or more focused, I should say. And when he throws a bad one, it's pretty dang ugly because it comes out sideways. But in the NFL, guys miss. They're not going to be perfect. And I thought yesterday Blake threw the ball well. Go look at the throws he made.
It was better. It was clearly better. They throw way too many back shoulder fades, and I don't know.
I agree. I said it last week, and I'll say it again this week. The back shoulder is a good play. It's an effective play, but don't you have to take some shots deep before
if you have a deep threat?
Yeah, you have to go over the top. Yeah. Like the one down the wheel route to Marquise, where he made the unbelievable catch. I don't know how he caught it.
When I was watching the game, I went, wow, what a catch.
He
got 4 feet in.
Right.
I'm talking not that one, Pete, on the other sideline, on the Viking sideline. He had another
one. Other one.
Where he dove and caught it and landed on his side before he went out of bounds. He jumped up. He had a step and a half on Xavier Rhodes. I'm like, why did we back shoulder? Throw that up.
Down the field, right.
Because he had beaten Xavier Rhodes. And Max is showing the play right there. He had beaten Rhodes. Rewind that, Max, if you can.
On Jaguars.com.
Jaguars.com.
You can watch the video.
Yep. Oh, it's going to loop. Okay, great. Thank you, Max. and we're looking at it right here. You can see he has a step on Xavier Rhodes. And the back shoulder works. I'm not saying so it's a good play, but I just would like to see us, like, I think it would make the back shoulder more effective if you beat people over the top.
Here's a question then. Was it truly a back shoulder throw or just a bad throw?
I don't know that. That one looks like a back shoulder throw to me.
Or did he just miss?
If it was a bad throw, it would have been more toward the middle of the field, toward out a little ways.
They did take a shot to Marquise where he got the pass interference. I didn't think that was a great throw, but it was good enough to get the PI because Marquise Lee beat Alexander, the rookie out of Clemson. And so they did take a couple shots, now I think about it, but it just seems like, man, there's a lot of back shoulders. But it worked yesterday. And I think one of the things watching that game yesterday, and we said in the broadcast, Would anyone have thought at the beginning of the year that Marquise Lee would be a better receiver than Allen Robinson right now? More productive,
no,
more
no.
explosive,
no.
better,
no, but when you
better
watch
hands.
But you even got to admit this, though, Tony. When you watch him on the practice field all summer when he was out there in the offseason, you said, boy, he's got what the other two don't.
Well, he has better gear.
Right.
And a suddenness.
They face an interesting dilemma on all those guys now. What do you do with them?
We don't have to do anything. They're all under contract next year.
But I'm talking about going forward.
Pete, let them play football.
Pete, you don't have to do anything. Why do you have to do anything? See, this is where, and maybe I would be a terrible GM, and because I always say, you don't have to do anything. They're under contract. Let them play. And we don't want to get free agency. Well, I'll worry about that then.
Sign them before free agency then.
I mean,
after the final year or whatever.
I mean, who's coming up next year that you have to worry about?
Linder? Isn't he coming up?
Is Linder up? That's a guy I'd worry about. I try to get Linder and Telvin signed this offseason. For sure. Sip, you kind of have to wait and see.
Is the Hearns contract a bad contract now?
No, I don't think it's that big, Pete. I don't think it matters.
Well, it's got a cap figure of $7 million next year.
Okay, and that matters million. How for this team? We have more cap space than, you know, who cares?
Correct, but does it mean you just go around wasting it?
I don't think so either, but I don't think that's a huge deal.
It's not that big a deal.
No. I just look at this and I don't think, you know, you can, at the end of the year, you make the decision, you can extend Blake for another year, which I would probably do no matter what.
You would?
I would.
You got to make that in May, right?
Yeah, I would do it.
Yeah.
Because my guess is you're going to bring in another guy to compete. If you can find a veteran, maybe if there's a guy in the draft that wows you, maybe. But I fully expect Blake to compete for the job next year.
Bad quarterback draft, by the way.
Right. So if that's the case and Blake wins the job and has a great offseason and comes back and takes a step over what he was last year, well, then you're glad you extended him. If he doesn't, the number's not that big where worst-case scenario is your backup.
So you're saying extend him for
– lock up his fifth year as a first-rounder.
In 18.
Yeah.
So next year, I mean, it's $6 million, so that's not that bad.
No. And I don't know what his fifth year would be. I don't know how that works, the math. But, like, it's 125% or something over their fourth year. Pete, you would know better than I.
Yes, yes. So okay. But and plus, you can have more cap room because two guys that were put on IR were put on IR.
Yeah, my guess, you know, Julius and Odric. I mean, we'll see. But if I was a betting man, I'm betting.
No, not we'll see. They're gone.
Yeah, they're not coming back.
And,
are they?
I wouldn't think. I don't know. Say, I'm not making that decision. But if I was a betting man, yes, they're gone.
Okay, so they save $5 million in cap room by releasing him next year, releasing Julius Thomas.
But Pete, cap room is not a problem.
But you don't waste it, Tony, just for the sake of wasting it.
I'm not talking about wasting
it. It's not use it or lose it.
I'm not. I'm not saying waste it. But you're telling me signing Linder's wasting it? Signing
no,
Telvin's wasting
saying.
It?
I would sign Linder and Telvin Smith.
So you're saying you wouldn't lock up Blake for the fifth year right now? That's a low-risk deal.
I would.
Okay,
but,
then what are we arguing about? Because I'm confused. You're agreeing with everything I'm saying.
I just said, do they have regrets over the Allen Hurns contract?
I said no, and you agreed. It's not that big a deal.
Well, Allen Robinson is clearly not getting a new contract.
I would not pay Allen Robinson this offseason.
Not early, no.
Unless his agent comes in at a really low price, which he's not. I wouldn't sign him for a franchise wide receiver deal right now.
Let me ask you this.
Me.
Do you think there's any
not that he can't
that
by the way, not that he can't be that guy, I just wouldn't do it right now.
Let me ask you this though, Tony. Is any part of his frustration because of that? He knows.
He knows what, Pete? He couldn't get
that,
signed
that this
year
season
anyways.
This season has cost him a boatload of money.
Well, being frustrated, and if that is the case, isn't going to help you get it. So you better get out of that. And I'm not saying he's doing that, but if that's the case. Listen, Al Robinson's a good football player. He just needs to come back, wash the season, finish strong with three games, wash it out of his mind, go work out this offseason, work on your craft, work on your technique, work on your body, come back focused, have a great year, and everything will work out because he's a good football player. That's what if he came and asked me, that's what I'd tell him.
Let's come back and get into the injury report. The Irritate Baselli half hour is coming up shortly as well.
You can't irritate me any more than me having to look at you tonight.
Wow.
I'm missing the Pete.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Pete. Wow.
And don't you smirk over there, Fortunata.
Man, he's shooting from the hip tonight, folks. Game day is so much more enjoyable. If you don't have to worry about finding a parking space, ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at $7. Let me think about this. We'll come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's frustrating. I mean, you go out and make the plays, just shaking up the team. You know, and us falling short is very frustrating, but I mean, you're still seeing positives within our offense, no turnovers and things like that, so it's positive. We just got to correct some things, score in the red zone, and just improve some things. We'll be fine.
The Albino Tiger, Marquise Lee.
You can't call him that anymore.
That's right.
Well, you just
did. Best offensive player they have.
You should apologize.
You should apologize,
obviously.
Tony. You know what? You should apologize.
I obviously need to.
You know what, Tony?
Just talk to me before the break.
I got a tweet saying I'm a bully and a terrible example for kids.
I agree.
Did you see that, Pete, on Twitter?
You are a bully.
Did you see that, Pete, on Twitter?
Yeah. Tony is a bully and a terrible example for our kids.
Yeah. Well,
terrible.
I can't argue now. I got this.
Tony, you know, you mentioned the albino tiger. You should apologize. He outlasted him.
That's true.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good call. I didn't think about
good
that.
Good point. Greg Olson said that. So, I feel like we're all with some tension in here tonight.
There's no
between
tension.
Between us three. Yeah, all of us.
Happy birthday to you.
I'm not hearing it right now.
Well, just because you were.
I don't want to hear it from you.
You know
what
the sweater reminds me of, Pete?
You know what?
Is Mr. Rogers. Remember that show growing up?
Oh, yeah. Or like the father. Or like the or like the father from what was it, Family Ties or something?
Didn't Mr. Rogers have? Didn't Mr. Rogers have like a tattoo on his forearm? That's why he had to wear the long sleeves.
I don't know, but that's what it looks like.
I didn't change shoes coming in here either. I got news for you.
Okay,
JP, what did you do for your birthday? Did you go out to dinner? Did you do something special? I mean, what are you doing?
I came to work. I'm hosting a show with you clowns.
Yeah, but what are you gonna do? You gonna go out? You gonna you gonna do something nice?
I don't know. I'll probably go eat a burrito or something like I always do on a Monday night. I mean, that's what I do after the show. I go home and
it's good stuff.
Got to work tomorrow. What do you want?
You owe me dinner, so maybe you can buy me steak.
Oh, that not tonight. I will spit on it tonight.
Is that what you still owe him from what? From
when I beat
Alabama
him in the run. No, when we went.
Yeah, the run. It was a stupid bet on my part.
I was going to say you couldn't owe him from Alabama USC because we know how that went.
Yeah, he backed out. He wanted to go, and then I wanted to go, and he backed out.
Then I tried to go again. Then you couldn't go because you had some. You had to work.
Yeah, it came up. If I had it booked already,
I'm sorry,
it's your fault.
Man. Yeah.
Injury report. Not much happening yesterday. That's good news for the Jaguars on the injury report. Marquise Lee had a lower leg injury but came back. Kelvin Beachum re-aggravated the left knee. He came back in the game. That's good news. Scuda played through an elbow injury. Ivory, Linder, Thompson, Hearns.
Stop
Robinson
Linder,
missed Sunday's game. They'll be updated this week.
I was worried about the Linder injury, but give Tyler Shatley credit. Playing against a good football player, Linville Joseph. We had our issues up front, but it was not Tyler Shatley. He played I thought he played well.
You know what? That's a guy that hasn't had a lot of playing time. It's a contract year for him, too.
He did a good job. I mean, literally.
Would you keep him around?
Should he be the left guard when Linder comes back?
I thought Chris Reed played well, too.
All right, good, because we're going to get to some grades in a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think
up.
Those two weren't the problem up front.
All right, let's get to the grades. I want to get to the grades.
Okay.
Then.
All right. Well, let's take our time out.
Well, you know why? You know why? Because I peeked at him, and I think you're going to really get angry today.
I don't think so, Pete.
I think you might.
Okay.
Have you noticed as of late on Sunday night, Collinsworth is really pushing his own company on the broadcast?
Oh, all the time.
Isn't that a conflict or anything? I mean,
It's funny, Tony, last night, I don't know if you saw the play where he was raving about Tyron Smith's block on the corner, which any tackle in the league could make.
Mm-hmm.
Frederick had a great block on that play on the inside.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it.
But I don't remember.
A great block. So I tweeted it out. I said, the great block was by Frederick. And Steve Palazzio tweeted back at me. He said, yeah, but you don't know the assignment. Like a little sarcasm for all the crap that we give him.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it.
Pretty good.
Let's come back. The Irritate Pacelli half hour is about to commence.
Yes!
It's your favorite,
We already had
Pete.
An hour of it. We already had an hour of
That's
it.
That's true. We'll make it an hour
I think
and a half
the fans,
tonight.
Tonight's the night the fans all line up to call you to irritate you, Tony. I think they're coming after
us. I wonder if they'll even call tonight. They might not call. The frustration's high in the fan base.
With you.
No, with every. I don't think with me, Pete. I don't think that's the big issue right now. I think maybe with me, but a lot of them sold their tickets again this week.
I'm irritated with you. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, Pro Football Focus grades and your calls when we come back. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
The one thing you can't do is start to point fingers, and you know, I believe and you know that there's nobody that would do that in our locker room, and I think that's why it's such a special group of guys. You know, and it's hard, right? Because obviously what we're doing is not working, and it's hard to believe in kind of, I guess, our routine, because there's no positive results. But there's nothing you can do besides continuing to work. You know, you start pointing fingers and blaming people and coming up with excuses, it's just going to tear the team apart, and you know, that does nobody any good.
Blake Bortles postgame yesterday after the Jaguars fell in Week 14 to the Minnesota Vikings. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. The official Irritate Boselli half hour is underway. Your calls coming up. 355-NFL-1 is the number.
Before
and
we
pro
get to,
football focus grades
yeah,
as
before
well.
We get to these dumb grades and the calls.
Are the calls dumb too?
I didn't say that, Pete.
Yeah,
I said,
you wanted to.
I didn't say that.
You wanted to.
No, you said dumb grades.
You hesitated.
And
calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't say dumb grades. You said dumb grades and calls. So dumb grades and dumb calls.
No, that's not what I said, yeah. Pete.
You said dumb grades and calls.
I said dumb right. grades and calls. You notice there was a little
I
slight
don't know,
pause.
JP.
The hesitation wasn't enough. I don't know.
Yeah, the hesitation wasn't there.
Yeah, it was. He, play it back.
We know what you meant, Tony.
He meant dumb grades and dumb calls, but he said dumb grades.
And so do the fans.
I don't think we're going to have calls tonight, so it doesn't matter.
Yes, we will.
No, I don't think we will. So far, no one's called.
Yeah, there's one.
Nope. That's Joe's wife. One thing Blake has done consistently, which I appreciate, he doesn't dodge questions. I mean, he sits there and takes it. He's a man, looks in the camera, doesn't make excuses, doesn't blame other people, and answers every dang question. I'll tell you what, he handles a lot better than I would have, and Pete knows that.
Yeah.
I would have been firing back at the media.
Yeah, you would have.
Pete and I went back and forth.
What would you say if you were asked some of the questions like this?
I don't know, that's Pete. Pete and I would go, I mean, Pete and I have been friends a long time, but Pete and I would go at it in the locker room. Back and forth. I mean, respectfully, yep. But I mean, we go back at we go and he come right.
What are you
right,
trying
he,
to say, Pete?
He come right back at me.
What are you trying to say, Pete?
Right, Tony? That's what
oh
you,
yeah.
I'd ask a couple questions. Now, granted, he caught on. He knew I was asking him to try and lead him.
Yeah,
in
I said, Pete, where are you trying to go? Just answer ask the dang question and stop beating around the bush.
And then I'd ask the question. You go, you know, I'm not going to answer that.
That's right.
You sound just like him.
You know the thing. Hicken reminded me this morning. After the Baltimore game where we lost like 15-6 or 15-9 in 2000, Pete, and Tom benched Mark and put Jamie Martin in at the end. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And Hicken reminded me of this today. He says, you remember when you came storming into the locker room and as soon as the media, he said, you screamed out and says, I don't want to hear anyone asking questions about a quarterback controversy. There's no – and I just – because that was my personality. I mean, that got me in trouble sometimes with the fans and everybody else. So the whole point is Blake has handled this outstandingly.
I agree.
He does a great job, and I
you know what? I've expected him to blow up at some point or whatever, and he hasn't. I mean, but you know what? It's hard to when you know.
No, Pete, you've seen guys get so sensitive that they just go into a shell.
I said that a couple weeks ago. Remember, I said he handles things as well as you can handle.
And it's one of the reasons I'm rooting for him that he has a great offseason and he figures it out and he comes back and wins the job. I'm not going to say he hasn't had a good year. And some of the throws he makes, I just hit my head against the table in the broadcast booth going, I've never seen anything like it. But I said it last week. I said it the week before. There's a lot of stuff I love about Blake Bortles. And there's a lot of stuff he does as a player, as an offensive lineman, I would have appreciated and respected out of the guy and would want to block for him. And the way he handles off-the-field stuff, outstanding, the media-wise. I hope he gets, and I've seen it improve the last few weeks with his motion. And, Pete, I don't know if you've been watching closely. The ball's not dropping down as far. It's tighter motion. And so it's not where it needs to be, and his decision is making isn't where, and his short intermediate balls have gotten better. The long passes are still very inaccurate, something he really needs to work on. I hope he has a great offseason. I hope he figures it out, and I hope he is the quarterback of the future of this franchise because I hope he rises to that level because he does so many other things I appreciate and respect.
Pete, are you ready for the Pro Football Focus grades from the game?
Yes, I am.
Let's hear them. I can't wait for this.
All right. One guy on offense got a green grade.
One guy. Marquise Lee.
One. Nope.
What?
And you'll be shocked when I tell you who it is.
What's going on up there?
How does Marquise Lee not have a positive grade? He had 5 catches for 117 yards.
It's positive. It's just not all the way in the green.
How? He had 2 or 3 great blocks. It sprung for
it.
First downs. He had catches.
Those
guys don't know what they're doing, Pete.
Kickoff returns.
I mean, come on.
Right.
I'm done.
They don't count.
It's
That's
over.
This is just on offense. No kickoff return. Mm-hmm. All right. So, Allen Robinson was in the green, if you can believe that.
He had one catch.
I don't get it, Tony.
Yeah, this is what.
3 targets,
this
one
is
catch.
And this is the operation we're using for Sunday Night Football.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I got the wrong game. I'm sorry. I called the wrong game up. My bad.
Oh, you're an idiot. What a moron.
We're gonna ruin the segment.
Oh, my gosh. I love this segment. This is the greatest segment ever. Prisco.
Yeah, but you know what's even
ruined.
Better?
Ruined.
Mr.
You know
Perfect.
You know what's even better?
What?
Is it got you going, so now I can get back to doing it. There's 2 guys with green grades.
Marquise.
You have one of them right. Yes.
And
Blake.
No.
Tyler Shatley.
Nope. TJ.
Okay.
TJ Yeldon.
I thought he played
good
well.
Good day, yeah.
All
59
right.
on the
Lowest
ground.
Lowest graded on the player end. On the entire offense is?
Kelvin Beachum.
You are 100% accurate, Tony.
Bad day, huh?
And lower grade in pass blocking than run blocking.
I would agree with that. He had a very.
Okay. Second
Everson,
lowest graded
Everson
player.
Griffin got the best of him.
AJ can.
Well, hold on. I was going to say AJ. That was my next guess. Those are the 2 guys I was going to say didn't play well.
Okay. Well, the 2 guys that you did say play well both got negative grades as well. Shatley.
And Reed.
And Reed.
Yeah.
And Reed got a good grade in pass protection. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I thought they both did fine.
Okay. And Parnell was like right middle of the road.
Yeah, I thought the other 3 played good enough to win.
Blake was negative.
I would have put him at dead 0, even.
Just par.
Par.
And I correct myself, Robinson was in the minus pool.
Well, we already know you screwed that up, Pete. You know,
Let's go to the defense. Highest rated player is?
Ngakoue.
Correct.
Hey.
No. Second highest. Who's the highest?
Sip, maybe.
Posluszny. What do you think about that, Tony?
I thought Buzz played well.
I thought he played, made some good plays. I did.
Yeah,
he missed a couple tackles.
Yeah,
didn't
I missed
he?
A couple of tackles. I thought he played well. I thought Sip played well for the most part. He had a couple missed tackles.
He's in the green. He played well in the run defense, they said.
Yep.
They had in the pass coverage.
Well, I thought the one holding they got on him was very questionable, but whatever.
He had 11 tackles. I
14.
Guess. Okay. Ngakoue, green. Malik, green.
Yeah.
Avery Jones,
green.
Alualu, green.
Mm.
Posluszny, green. Cyprian, green. Hayes Poulard green.
Good at the goal line.
Scuda green. And that's it.
Why
Aaron Colvin red. Jalen Ramsey just missed the green right under it, but green for pass cover.
I don't understand how all those greens, and I thought this was one of the worst performances on defense of the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And in the past, they haven't had all those greens. So these grades, as I say every week, are irrelevant, nonsensical, irresponsible to talk about on the radio, and we will end the segment right now. Go to the calls.
Question regarding the grades and
play time. Go to the calls. No.
Why?
Tony, Dante Fowler was a minus, not a big minus. Would you agree with that?
I don't care, Pete. I don't care.
What if I snap?
You already screwed this thing up. You started at the wrong game, for goodness sake.
He only had 25 snaps yesterday.
And Ngakoue's better.
I agree, but.
Hey, why Scuda? Why did Scuda play more than
I don't
Miles?
Know. I don't understand that.
That makes no sense whatsoever in any way, shape,
I don't either. I don't understand it. I would play Miles. I especially play Miles the last 3 weeks. I mean, give him reps. You know, the interesting thing, Pete, is next year, where do you play Miles? You're not going to get rid of Puz.
Right. They got they got an issue there now. You drafted a guy who's not going to be on the field.
You'll find a place. You got to find a place.
Where, JP?
Where are you going to play him? Where are you going to play him, JP?
Hmm. Yeah, and this is a very silly question, and it goes against everything I believe in doing.
I can't wait to hear it.
We might as well do it because right now we're 2-11, and let's talk about something interesting. If Cyprian gets away in free agency, let's say someone offers him a bunch of money and the Jags don't match it, or for whatever happens, he goes. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent. He goes free. Would you put Telvin at strong safety and put – if you continue to run this scheme and put Miles Jack at will? I mean, Telvin's faster than Sip.
Can he turn and run like a safety, though? You know what I mean? There's a difference.
I think he has – his hips are just as fluid – and turn just as well as Sips. From what I watch.
It won't be the same scheme, so it's kind of.
I'm just asking if it was, Pete. This is just hypothetical conversation to wait till we get on these phone calls.
I'd consider it.
I asked the question to JP's point of saying there has to be a way to get them all on the field.
Yes.
Is that the way you do it?
It's not like you could go to a 3-4 and get an extra linebacker on the field because. None of those guys fit the 3-4. They're not big enough.
And do you want to move Telvin, who's playing so well at the linebacker spot? Are you willing to risk
no,
that?
No, I mean.
And can he do that in an offseason?
The funny thing.
Miles Jack in, like, Seattle would be perfect.
Where?
Huh?
Where would you play him?
Well, I mean, again, with KJ Wright or one of those guys.
Okay, but they're there, Pete. He's not going to be out KJ Wright or Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, it's kind of a luxury. In hindsight, it's kind of a luxury pick, isn't it?
Well, I mean,
or are they waiting for the replacement for Puz.
I mean, he's the future Mike linebacker, but Puz is playing at a high level. You can't get rid of Puz.
Right? How can you wait? Do you wait? You gonna wait 3 years for the guy, or two?
I don't know.
It's essentially three. It would be essentially three.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Today's football, because it's so much nickel personnel, that Sam linebacker just doesn't play a lot.
You ready for phone calls, gentlemen?
I have a feeling whether I'm ready or not doesn't matter.
They're coming, yeah. What you say. 355-NFL-1. We start off on the north side with Terrence. Terrence, you're on the air. Good evening.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Terrence, don't make me hang up on you like last week when you asked that question.
Tony. I know. This is irritating Tony. Tony, the pride thing. That was... Well, Jimmy deserved. I'm glad. That was the best thing to happen all day yesterday. But
I agree with that.
Don't you think it went in? Now, Tony, is your name? Is it T O N Y out there, or is it Anthony all the way spelled out?
What?
I'm talking about up in the pride. Is it Tony, or is it your whole name spelled out?
My whole name is Tony Baselli.
No, I'm saying up in the pride. Did they put Tony or Anthony?
Anthony? If it says Anthony Don Baselli.
First of all, my legal name is Don Anthony Baselli Jr. It does not say Don Anthony Baselli Jr. It goes by what I – it says what I've been known by and what I went by and what I go by now, Terrence. Tony Baselli. Is that what you called in to ask?
From now on, you're known as Donnie.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, why don't you go as Don? Tony.
I don't know. Ask my parents. Oh. I didn't have that choice. It's your name.
You can call whatever you want.
I've been called Tony since I can remember. In fact, I was called growing up because my dad's Tony Sr. I'm Tony Jr. I was called Little Tony. And if I still get around my aunt and my family and my dad's around, and my dad's 6 foot, 180 pounds, he's still Big Tony. Tony, and I'm Little Tony. Still, to this day.
Isn't that funny? He's ignoring Big Donnie, isn't he?
He's ignoring me with Big Donnie. Darn right he is.
I could care less. Listen, Pete, this isn't grade school where it bothered me. In grade school, it bothered me if someone called me Don or didn't call me Tony. Now, I could care less.
I don't know. You're a little sensitive.
You're getting a little worked up over it. Hey.
No, I really don't.
You got him worked up, Terrence.
Congratulations, Terrence. Call me Donnie. Call me Fatso. Call me Big Donnie. Call me whatever you want.
All right, Oaf.
JP.
I'll call you Oaf. Let's go to Mandarin.
You call me anything, just look at yourself.
It makes sense. Greg is in Mandarin this evening. Greg, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, it's going.
No, it's great.
It's going. Another year, right? Talking about Blake and all the guys. But, you know, in the military, it was in the Marines, and I did this class once. That, you know, we go to classes, do anything to get extra credit to make, you know, the rank and all that. It's kind of a psychology class. And, you know, the one thing that I really got out of the whole thing, aside from being able to gain rank, was not saying you all the time. You know, every time you got to say something or you're explaining something, just like what I'm doing right now. You know, Blake, I mean, Gus, the coach, get on there and everything that he says, like the comments that he was just saying. You got to do this. You got to go back. You got to, you know, do all your things. And I just think that if he would change that around psychologically, you know, it may make him really, I don't know, accept everything for himself and be able to drive himself better within, you know, by just saying, I need to go do this. I need to do that. You know, not tell us that we need to go do it.
That's an interesting perspective, I guess. What do you think, Pete?
Pete has no idea what he just said.
I can't wait
Pete
to hear
I know
lost.
Exactly what he's saying.
Pete is lost. He is so confused right now by the words and the terminology and the philosophy that was just expressed on this show that Pete right now
it was nice by Greg.
Has no idea what Greg just said.
No, I know exactly what he said.
No, you don't.
But in my world, I always do what I can do and don't worry about what everybody else can do.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure, Pete.
Oh, really?
If I'm doing my job, I've always told you this many a time, Tony. If I'm doing my job and the guys, if I'm playing football just like you did, and you were doing your job at a high level, which you often did, and the guys around you weren't, that isn't on you. That's on them.
Okay. Well, I mean, it always starts with the individual. You got to take care of your own backyard before you worry about anyone else. Do your job at the highest level.
What's good for me is good for me.
I knew that was coming.
I was waiting on
that. That is the mantra of Pete Prisco.
Let's give one last call before this break. Leo in Fruit Cove. Leo, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. What just happened? Hey, happy birthday, JP.
Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, I thought when he asked you how old you were, I thought you was going to say like 50, man. Sound like you got that old man voice even.
You got the old man sweater.
That's real nice, Leo. Thank you.
No, I'm not trying to be. I'm just saying, man, you don't sound like a young man. Hey,
what's up, Don
the Bully Boselli? What's up, man? New names coming on, man. Yeah. What's going on with y'all, man?
All right, Don. Yeah. What do you think? I like it. Okay.
Hey, listen, guys. What a disappointing season. Yeah, we know. Jeff Fisher got fired, I heard today. Is that true?
Yes. He gone.
Yeah. Why do we give so much grief to Gus Bradley when Jeff Fisher has the title of most losses?
You know who he tied?
Dan Reeves.
TikTok. North Turner?
Dan Reeves.
I just said it.
Dan Reeves.
Yeah, but you can also look at it from the other standpoint. You can also look at it from the other standpoint that Gus has the is the lowest rated percentage-wise beside Burt Bell in the history of the league. So there's there are two ways to look at that.
Why would they give him an extension and then fire him?
I think something happened. I think the players or something, you know, after you have a – well, the performance was awful. I mean, they didn't show up. And that's always something that gets a coach fired when you're going bad. And you know, that's one thing you can say. At least Gus's team shows up, sort of. I mean, they're competing, right? They weren't – it wasn't 42-10 or whatever it was with the Rams.
Right.
And then you had Todd Gurley coming out saying it's a middle school offense. And I just think, you know, it was building to something. And they, you know, the rumors are that it's going to be Harbaugh maybe. I'd be surprised at that, but you never
John heard. Harbaugh?
Jim.
From
Jim's
Michigan?
Going to leave Michigan already?
Yeah.
No way.
They got it rolling up there. I mean, they're a play away from being in the playoffs.
$8 million a year could change your mind, though, couldn't it?
Well, he's making about that now, isn't he?
No,
I bet you he's making six.
Yeah, he's making six or seven, Pete. They'd have to pay him 10 for him to leave.
They could.
I don't think they're LA. Going to that.
No, they're not going to pay him 10. Pete, did you watch
that
game?
He's making nine now. It says he's making nine.
He's making a lot. I know
that. It's a lot of money.
Did you watch that game?
Yeah.
I saw a tweet from somebody saying that all the L.A. Fans decided to go do something else on this day because was the Coliseum empty?
It was empty. It was empty.
I said it. I was there when they had two teams. And I told everyone's been clamoring for L.A. L.A.'s a great area. I love L.A. I love going to SC. I love living there. I love California.
Got
to
win.
But if you don't win in L.A., nobody is coming. It's an expansion year, basically. It's in first year, and they've already said, we've had enough. Those people have so much stuff to do and so many options and busy lives and everything else, and it's
always – it takes you 2 hours to get to the game.
It's always beautiful there, and it's the culture of the fan base.
The traffic is a joke.
They're not going to do it. They're not coming. That team's not good. Nobody will be there. Nobody.
Kind of like a USC game when you were there.
Listen, we still go to the American Bowl.
We did not have great years there. And if we were playing, a Penn State or a big game, UCLA,
right.
Notre Dame. Now back then it held 98,000 people.
Right.
We'd still have
45,000.
No, we'd have 60 to 65, but it looked, you know, didn't look good.
That's not good, coach.
No, but we were 8-4. We were average.
Well,
team.
That's why they got to get to the new stadium, because once they get to the new stadium, you know, everybody goes to the new stadium to see the new stadium.
Pete,
for a couple
for
years,
one, not even
off.
No, a couple years, no, a couple games,
two.
No, they'll come for a couple games. That's it.
Not if they spend it, and they got to sell.
Not
PSLs,
in L.A. So. Not in L.A. They don't care. Go to the Lakers games. No one shows up.
Yeah, well, now they don't. When they win, they do.
That's
right.
My whole point.
Yeah. Let's come back more of the irritate Don Buscelli half hour.
Donnie, big Donnie.
355.
Donnie Brasco, baby.
NFL 1, 355-6351. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
I'm emotional today. It's been a long time coming. I'm incredibly honored and humbled to be inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars today. I found it difficult to express how I really feel today. And for me, there's no other goal more important to get inducted into the Pride of the Jaguars today.
There's Jimmy Smith, his induction ceremony yesterday at Everbank Field into the Pride of the Jaguars, number 82.
Very cool. I wish I would have been there for that. I sent him a little note saying, you know, I was told him I was down here. I would have liked to see it. That, was there a lot of guys back, Tony?
Yeah, 62.
Wow.
That's good. Or I guess 61, because if you include Jimmy, he'd be the 62nd.
Well, Keenan was there. Keenan came, right?
Yeah, Keenan was there. Yeah.
Was there a surprise guy that you hadn't seen in a while that showed up?
You know, who I hadn't seen for a while was Leon Searcy. And Leon came last year, but he only came on Sunday, and I didn't get to see him because I'm up in the booth working. But he came Saturday night, and it was great to see Leon.
It's a large man, by the way.
He is a big man and underappreciated and underrecognized for how good a football player he was.
Yes, absolutely.
He was a great right tackle. Guy who's good.
Tough.
Tough.
Tough, tough, tough.
Best punch in the NFL. And he's a really good football player.
Had some great interactions over the years with Leon when I covered that team.
Yeah, love Leon. Love being his used to playing with him. I mean, he's great.
You know what I remember once, Tony, when in Oakland, when I, you guys played at Oakland and didn't have a particularly good day, if I remember correctly.
96, early in the year.
And I went down to the locker room, and I went down there, and Leon was at his locker, and he turned around and he started in on me on my grade.
Yeah.
He goes, "What are you going to grade us now, Pete? Come on." Oh, he started in on me. I was just laughing. I go, "Come on, Leon. You know I have to do that."
Was that the weekend we taped off the locker room and said it was a Prisco free zone?
That might have been a different time. But this one was Leon. And Leon started it in the locker room. Remember how crappy that locker room was in Oakland?
Oh.
He started it in there. And there was no water. Remember the plumbing blew up that day, so there was no hot water.
No hot water.
So he turned around and
take cold showers after losing a football game and fly home five and a half hours. By the way,
you guys all
putting
chimed
our suits
in. You
back
all
on.
Chimed in. Hey, think about that, JP.
Yes.
Leon starts it. He's 300 pounds. You got Baselli over there. He's 350 or whatever he was then. You got the other Wydell and every other big guy. They all start in on me. You're great. You're great. You're great. I'm just standing
five
there.
Five foot
what?
Two.
They tell me to do it.
Five
they
foot
tell
two
me to
Prisco
do it.
Standing
they make
there
me grade them.
Himself. Yeah.
Yeah, Leon, you're right, Tony. In the grand scheme of football in this league, Leon's probably one of the more underappreciated players that's been around.
He was really good.
How long did he play in the league?
11 years, I think. The last two, though, he went to Miami and Baltimore, I want to say.
Baltimore.
And tore a tricep. He was never the same after he tore his quadricep here, I think year 9 for him. It was his 9th year he tore his quadricep, maybe his 10th year. Maybe it was 9th.
That was 2000. That was 2000.
It was
right?
His 9th year.
Yeah.
He tore his quadricep, and he was never the same. He missed the whole year, in fact. And then he had a couple stints at other places.
Any other obscure guys show up, Tony? Like guys you hadn't,
no one that comes to mind, Pete.
Are they mostly the guys that live in the area? Is that
no, a lot of guys from out of town.
Yeah.
A lot of town.
And then. Shots was a big deal on the boat and all that.
It was great. Yeah, we had a little cocktail reception on the boat, the ship. It's not a boat. It's a ship. The yacht, whatever. I mean, it's big. Before, and then we all went from there down to the stadium and had some festivities that night.
Players only.
Players only.
Yeah, it's cool.
They need to, I've told you this before. They need to do something with that, and I'm going to suggest that too. They need to open that up to the fans in some form or fashion.
No, they do not.
No. Not that thing, but they should have something where maybe a golf tournament on a day.
Oh, yeah,
Fridays.
Something like that. I thought you meant the night. Well, they did a breakfast.
No.
They did a breakfast at the stadium, I think, with some sponsors and some fans.
Right. Yeah.
This year. So they did some stuff. But I think a golf tournament with the fans that, you know.
Like on a Friday you do the golf tournament. And
or
then
do it
Saturday
morning. Do the golf Saturday morning and then go to the boat.
And then Saturday afternoon you have like a little get-together in an auditorium where guys sit up there and they answer questions from fans and get to sign autographs and stuff, and then go to your private thing on Saturday night.
Yeah, that'd be great. I agree with that.
Let's continue with the phone calls. We'll go to the north side again and say good evening to Mac. Mac, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Pete, you know you were mad, but you was trying to trip Tony up on the dumb call. You know you were doing that, Pete, intentionally.
On what? On which call?
When Tony said we got to get to the you know Tony don't like those PFRs get to
yeah,
the dumb PFRs.
I know. Of course I was.
That was funny, T. Okay, here we go. New head coach 2017. How about Edgar Bennett?
Oh God, do we have to go here tonight?
I'm not.
Yes.
No, we don't.
And
don't.
Yes, and to
answer Pete.
Yeah,
no,
Tony
no.
won't talk about it,
I'm
but I will.
I'm not talking about it.
Why?
I like Edgar Bennett. I think Edgar Bennett's going to be a head coach in the league. He's a Jacksonville kid. He's been a wide receivers coach. He's been a running backs coach. He's been co-offensive coordinator in Green Bay. He's worked with Aaron Rodgers. He's put together a game plan. I would like to see Edgar Bennett interviewed. I would, yes.
He will lift the curse off this town.
There's a curse?
On the Jaguars.
What is the curse?
the curse is the three losses to Tennessee Titans back in 1999.
Haven't we beaten the Titans since then?
Well, I mean, we've beaten them, but we haven't mattered since then.
They had a playoff run in 07, didn't they?
Yeah, but that wasn't like 1999. We were the best in the league. You know, I hate the Titans with a passion. Don't you know if the Titans, and the Jacksonville fans don't even realize, if the Titans come in here and beat us, this will be the first time in Jaguar history we'll go 0-0 for no wins in our stadium. That had never happened before. Home games.
Yeah, that's not a good. Happened. That's not a good stat.
That's right. No. So we got to beat the Titans' ass, and I hate them, and we're gonna do it. If we don't beat the Titans, I will go to the Main Street Bridge and dance in the middle of it with just my underwear on.
Please don't.
No, God,
don't,
no.
Don't do this. No. That's how I got home.
God, no.
No.
And if you're going to do that, Mac, let me know so I can take the heartbreak.
Yeah, you're right.
No. Don't do that.
Wow. A couple more calls before we call it. Matt in Fleming Island. Matt, what's up? Matt, you're on the air. What's up?
Hi. Good evening. First of all, happy birthday to you, JP.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You got it. Pete, I have enjoyed listening to you for many, many years, and I thank you very much for your very real. You're one of the greatest that have ever played for us, certainly.
He's one of the greatest that ever played for us? I mean, what?
No,
I'm
real, and you're one of the greatest that's ever played for us. In other words, you're not real, but you're a great player.
Huh. Which is what I'm kind of getting to next, because I would like to direct my question to Tony, please.
Okay. Go ahead. Please.
Please. Go. Go.
I am not a fire the coach kind of guy in most circumstances.
But you're
going to
do
it. Unequivocally.
First of all, can I say something before you keep on going? I don't need the disclaimer at the front end of it. Just ask the dang question. I don't need the disclaimer that you're not this or that or that. And then, but. It's like, I mean, give me a question.
Tony, I have heard you say on the drill, I've heard you say on this show,
okay,
these are good coaches. This is a good coach. I have also heard you say, I hope that Gus Bradley is not fired. And I would like to please ask you what metric you're basing this conclusion on, whether it be record or how can you convince me as a fan that he is, in fact, a good coach and should be retained? And I'll listen up here. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, and that is a big question.
One, I do like Gus, and I like a lot of the guys here, and I like Dave Caldwell, and I like a lot of people in this organization, and I don't want anyone to get fired. And I think it's hilarious that somehow fans think, like, whatever the last caller's name was.
Matt. In Fleming Island.
In Fleming Island, like, do you hope people get fired in your world? Like, do you have friends that you look at and say, man, I hope you get fired? So I'm not sure what's wrong with not wanting people that you like as individuals, that you're friends with, not to get fired. So if that's a problem and that's something that's wrong, then I guess I'm wrong because I don't want to see my friends get fired. As far as the metrics, I've said all along, I've never said anyone's going to get fired or not going to get fired. I have said I hope they don't because they're my friends and I want it to work and I like them. And I do think they're good football coaches. There's a lot of different levels to football coaching. And I said all the time, at the end of the day, though, and Pete, you can back me up on this because I've said it multiple times, I'm not going to talk about this until the season's over. And at the end of the season, the owner of the franchise will sit back and evaluate the entire situation, and you are judged in this league at the end of the day with wins and losses. And everyone in this building understands that. And so we'll talk about it at the end of the year. And so I'm not sure what
I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it before
fine,
that.
And that's fine, Pete, and you can. But have I ever said anything different than that, Pete?
No, yes, you've defended Gus before. I mean, I
think they're good football.
And I'm going to sit here and say I get where you're coming from. I told you this before. He might be one of the five nicest human beings I've ever met in the NFL.
Forget him being nice. So is.
But you can't defend his record.
I'm
Tony.
Not
you
trying
can't.
To defend his record, Pete. But when I talk about good coaching, there's good X's and O's, there's good schemes, there's good things that happen.
But it hasn't been a good coach. There's no way, in any way, shape, or form, you can say this has been a good coaching year. None. Zero.
So the defense going from 32nd to top five or wherever they're going to end up after this weekend isn't a good job of coaching?
But
I'm just asking the question. That's not a good job of coaching.
What are they, 27th in scoring defense, Tony?
You can't – I'm asking the question. Is that not good coaching?
You're picking and choosing.
I'm not picking and choosing. You are. You picked the one bad stat. I can give you five other good stats on defense.
The players are better.
So it has nothing to do with coaching. So the players that all got better that we talked about at the beginning of the show, they did that all by themselves. So we give coaching no credit on that. I'm just asking the question, Pete. Tell me
what. But in the grand scheme of things, there's nothing that you can sit here and say that a team that was supposed to be at bare minimum 8-8 is now 2-11 is a good coaching job. No way. You can't do it.
Okay, my question is this. So, Pete, are you first of all, tell me what are the parameters for a good coach or not? Is it just wins and losses?
Yes.
Okay, so it's just wins and losses. So Bill Belichick was a bad football coach in Cleveland.
He didn't have Tom Brady.
No, that's – answer my question, Pete. I'm asking the question. I just want to hear. So Bill Belichick –
Didn't he win 11 games in Cleveland 1 year?
They were 4-12. They were 4-12. They went 4-12, and they lost to an expansion team twice that year, us. So was Bill Belichick a bad football coach in 1995?
No.
You said all that matters is the record, Pete. He was 4-12. Let me ask you, the first year in New England, was he a bad – when they didn't have a winning
record? Here's Bill Belichick's record in Cleveland. Here's Bill Belichick's record in Cleveland. 6-10, 7-9, 7-9, 11-5, and 5-11.
No, he was not 5-11 last year. 95, he was 4-12.
No, it was 95. It was 95. He was 5-11. It's right here in the thing. So, you know what? Gus would take that in an instant.
My question to you is, if it's all based on record, is Bill Belichick was in 1995? Was he a bad coach? In the first year, was he a bad coach when he was 6-10? Was he a bad coach the first year in New England when they didn't have a great record? I'm just asking.
It's always Jimmy's and Joe's more than X's and O's.
No,
you know
that's
that.
What we're not talking about, Pete. You're
it
saying, no, that's not what we're talking about. That's not what the caller asked. Just answer the dang question, because you said all that matters and the only thing you judge a coach on is his wins and losses. That's all that you judge him on.
That's the ultimate judge.
No, you said that's all you judge him on. I asked you.
Sloppy
what do you
play and penalties and mistakes and bad situation. There's a lot more to judge
a coach
on.
So basically you're
going to
change what the parameters are. Now that it didn't fit your narrative. Okay, that makes sense.
This has not
good
been
call.
A
good call.
Okay, I'm going to sit here right now. This has been a poorly coached team this year. How about that? Does that enough for you? They haven't done a good job.
Well, no, when you're 2-11.
They fired an offensive coordinator because he didn't do a good job.
Pete, I'm not arguing that right now this team is performing and has a good record at all. That's my question. All I said that – there are good football coaches who have had bad years. There are good football coaches that have coached teams that have not performed well. That's all I said.
Well, and true, Tom Coughlin was arguably going into the Hall of Fame, had a bad year in Jacksonville, didn't he, before he got fired?
So, Mike, but you're saying that you said that Gus Bradley is a bad coach. And I said, what do you base it on? And you said, only on wins and losses. And I said, okay. So Bill Belichick a bad coach?
Things? Bad situation, sloppy play, penalties. Bad clock management. I mean, there's a variety of things you judge guys on.
Okay, so that's fine, but that's not what you said initially. So I just wanted to make sure we're talking.
He just amended it. Okay.
That's fine. I just want to make sure. That's all right. I was asking.
Let's get one.
But ultimately, it's wins and losses.
Wins and losses. So that. So for about 2 or 3 year period, Bill Belichick was a bad football coach.
He also won 11 games 1 year.
Okay, that year he was a good. So he went from bad coach, average coach, good coach, bad coach. That's all.
Back to great coach.
According to – well, the first year, I don't know. I can't remember what the first year record of the –
5-11.
So he was a bad coach that year. So he was a bad coach.
He didn't have 5 years of bad – 4 years. Was
no,
it 5 years?
No, then he became a good coach. So I'm just saying it's miraculous in this world how we become – guys can go from good coach to bad coach, good coach, bad coach. Like, they must forget. I wonder if Bill Belichick just forgot how to coach that year. What do you think, JP?
He probably learned a lot from his bad year. He probably learned a lot from his bad years.
That's right.
I know.
Learn a lot.
He probably grew.
Yeah.
He grew. In fact, Josh McDaniels, who might be the next coach in Jacksonville.
Oh, he's a bad coach. Why would you hire him, Pete? He's a terrible coach. Look what he did in Denver.
He probably grew from his last job. He could be the next Belichick.
But you said it's all about the record. So why would you hire someone who had losing records? I mean, golly.
I'm not saying I would hire him. I'm saying there's a chance he could be there. I'm not doing the hiring, am I, Tony?
Well, my point to you, Pete, is it's convenient when it works for you to say a guy's a good coach or bad coach. And I just
a lot of good coaches in the high school level too. They're not going to coach in the NFL. You can't judge them on wins and losses in the NFL either.
I'm just saying it's
Come on,
more
Tony.
I'm just saying it's more it's not as easy, it's not as black and white as all I'm saying.
That's the only thing you can grade them on. Okay. That's how they get fired and hired, is wins and losses.
Which I agree with. I agree with that 100%.
But even you, Captain Sugarcoat, can't say that this has been a well-coached year in Jacksonville.
I don't think this year's gone well at all.
Okay.
In a lot of different areas.
Let's come back, guys, and look around the National Football League in Week 14. We'll hit some games. Thanks for the calls tonight on Irritate Don Buscelli Half Hour. Well done, in fact. I think that mission accomplished tonight, Pete. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
We'll get to Around the League in just a moment. We'll go to one final phone call in Mandarin. Chris has been hanging on. We'll get him in before the wire. What's up, Chris? You're on the air. Chris, hello.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
You there?
Yes, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, I had a quick question. It was about, y'all were talking about Cyprian and if we lost him and moving Telvin Smith. What about Miles Jack? Played that position at UCLA.
That's my fear. I opened Pandora's box.
Way to go, Tony.
I'm sorry.
The only thing I was also going to ask was
it was a hypothetical.
In 96.
That's all it was.
If with Buscelli, if he knows when it just clicked.
When we started winning.
Yeah.
That's when it clicked.
That's kind of a rude answer, Tony. Like there was had to be a time where
we started winning. Oh. What happened?
That's great. I mean,
okay.
No, it clicked. It clicked when you got a gift from Vinny Testaverde in Baltimore.
No, it wasn't like all of a sudden, like, oh wow, we got it now. I'm not trying
to
be rude.
You made him hang up. Nice job, Tony.
That
was a rude answer. I was asking a legitimate question.
And
Pete gave the great answer.
No, that's not when it clicked. What happened was, we were 4-7, underachieving, not playing good football. There was a lot of dissension, a lot of unhappy people. In the entire organization, the fan base was screaming. Mm-hmm. Everyone forgets that Tom didn't know what he was doing. And we have a terrible loss in Pittsburgh where we got beat 20-0. Andre Rison ran a bunch of bad routes, led to some picks. And they cut him on Monday. And the locker room was upset because everyone liked Andre. That opened the door where Jimmy went from being the third receiver to the number one receiver on the number two receiver behind Keenan. Keenan was our number one that year, and we started playing better football. Had some opportunistic opportunities. That's kind of a repetitive.
Doesn't make any damn
opportunistic
sense.
Plays come our way. Is that better?
Sure.
Something like that.
Whatever.
And we got on a run. We got very fortunate and lucky that Morton Anderson slipped or shanked the field goal that he makes in his sleep, got into the playoffs, and got in a roll. And that was what clicked was that when we got in the playoffs and got on a roll, that built the confidence for the years to come because now we knew we could do it. But there wasn't a magical moment where I was laying in bed and like, oh, wow.
Eureka.
We can do it. It was a series of events. You go out there and work. You go out there and play. You get some breaks that go your way. What everyone forgets, we were fortunate. We had some breaks. Pete will tell you. There were two games we could have easily lost, Baltimore and Atlanta, and none of the playoff run and none of the magic of 96 would have happened. And why
there were a lot of breaks that year.
I don't know. I would have never played Bruce Smith in a famous game for me. It was a big moment for me. If Morton Anderson, he shanked a 38-yard field goal.
We know you blocked Bruce Smith. You don't have to remind us every time it comes up.
Okay, the Jimmy Smith play, the Jimmy Smith play against Denver, the fade, or the Mark Brunell run, or all these great moments never would have happened. But everyone was – that's what I keep on saying. Everyone's looking for the magic bullet. It's not an – I wasn't being rude to the caller. I was telling the truth. What happened? When did you know? When we started winning, that's what I knew. Because before that, we'd show up to work every day and grind through it and get our – asses yelled at by the head coach and our position coaches because no one was happy. Everyone was miserable. And then you start winning and everyone gets happy. It's not some, like, magic formula. Winning cures everything. It cures everything in the fan base. It cures everything in an organization. It cures everything on a team.
Yep.
And that's just how it works. And right now this team isn't getting any breaks. This team isn't creating any breaks. And they're playing bad football in situations. And I just – and I know the easy thing is, and everyone gets mad at me, and Twitter is in a rage right now, screaming at me because of the last comments I had about about Gus.
Love it.
But I'm not going to sit here and buy into the easy black and white conversation of just fire the coach and that fixes everything. Because that's not true. Now, if you want me to say that because it'll make you feel better as a fan or as a person or as a media person or whatever, then fine, I'll say it. Fire Gus and everything will be great. It's not true. But it'll make you feel better. So I hope everyone's happy. I mean, it's not that easy. I mean, guess what? Tom Coughlin was a great coach. He's a very good coach. But you know why everyone thinks he was a great coach? But partly because Morton Anderson missed the kick. And Vinny Testaverde, for who knows why, threw an interception when they didn't even have to throw the ball. And that led to us getting the playoffs. And that propelled itself.
He also won two Super Bowls with the Giants.
No, but I'm talking about his time here. I'm not discounting. I'm saying we want to make it so easy. And guess what? If Morton Anderson would have missed that kick, if Vinny wouldn't have thrown the ball away, does that make Tom a bad coach?
Would y'all have been good the next 3 years after that? Had he missed?
I think, but I'll tell you right now, and Pete doesn't like to believe this, but I'll fight him to the end. That he's dead wrong if he doesn't say that playoff run didn't build confidence and help that young team going into the future years because now we felt like we belonged.
That's right.
We knew we belonged.
I would agree with that.
And so, if those things don't happen that had no control over the coach, zero, if those didn't happen, would Tom all of a sudden been a bad coach? Because we would have finished, by the way, instead of 9-7, 7-9 and not in the playoffs. With our crosstown expansion team, or cross-state, whatever, the Carolina Panthers, ending up 12-4. You don't think there was pressure on this group about that? You don't think people were talking about it? And guess what? Tom was a good coach, whether those things happen or not. And he proved it over time. And guess what? When this team was losing at the end and he got fired, Tom didn't forget how to coach. There was a lot of situations. He was still a good coach, and he proved it when he went to New York. And by the way, didn't win right away and was about to get fired and then won two Super Bowls. So this whole good coach, bad coach, 1 year, next year, the simple answers that people want so everyone's happy, it's not the case. I'm not saying
–
Are you saying they should keep Gus? I'm not saying that, Pete. At the end of the day, you have to make a judgment based on the overall picture of where the organization is going and wins and losses are part of that. I'm not a moron. I'm not living in the dark. I understand that.
Debatable.
Okay, maybe I am a moron, but I'm not living in the dark. How about that? Do I want it to happen? No. I like Gus. I like his staff. I like Dave. I like the guys in this organization. I'm rooting for them. Part of me is a fan. I want it to work. I like a lot of the things that they do here. But is it working? I can't sit here and say it is because we have two wins right now. Is it just because of one thing? And changing that one thing, is it going to fix everything? No. So that's where I stand. I don't know why that's a problem.
You need a hug, dude. Seriously.
No, I don't need a hug.
I worry about him.
No, but
eat a Snickers, will
you? Pete, in all honesty, do you disagree with anything I just said? No, I'm serious about this team, about 96. You were here.
Yeah, no, 96 got some breaks and some bounces. And, yeah, you got to get them sometimes. Yeah. You got to get – and if they don't happen, sometimes they don't lead to anything else. Yes, I would agree with you. But there's been a long enough time here to see those kind of bounces and things go their way.
this.
I'm not trying to compare the two situations. All I'm just saying is, I'll ask you this, Pete. If Shad Khan decides to make a coaching change, does that fix everything?
No.
Okay, that's all I've said.
You don't know who you're getting. What are you getting?
Does that fix everything?
No. Who are you getting?
I don't know, Pete. But I'm just saying that's my whole point. I don't like the. Sometimes I listen to people and on Twitter and all these things that let's just make that. Everything will be perfect. It'll be nirvana.
No, but you got to try it. You got to try it. You got to try and change it.
A little late to get around the league with Pete, so let's pick Monday Night Football. The Ravens at 7-5 with the league's best defense. Visit Foxborough in the top five passing attack of Tom Brady and the 10-2 Patriots. Who you got tonight, guys?
Well, the Ravens always play. Well, you got me so flustered because you went on a rant for about 20 minutes that you took my time. But anyways, the Ravens always play the Patriots tough. This is going to be a game. You know what this is going to be tonight, Tony? Tom Brady will – I'd be shocked if he doesn't throw it 50 times tonight because the Ravens stopped
the run. The ball.
We know what Belichick does when that happens. Remember we went to Buffalo a couple years ago and he threw it like 50 times and ran it twice? I think you're going to see one of those games.
All you have to remember, 2 years in the playoffs, he played the Ravens, threw it like 55, 60 times. The next week they played the Colts. They ran it 55, 60 times. No coach, no team, no staff does it better than the Patriots when it comes to scheming – game in, game out, changing things. And the reason they're able to do that is because they have Tom Brady at their quarterback. They can put a heavy load on him mentally. He can handle it, get everyone lined up. With that said, you know, one of the injuries that worries me is no Marshall Yanda tonight for the Baltimore Ravens. Probably still one of the best guards in all of football. Not the best anymore. I think that's Zach Martin. But the Ravens are not afraid. They're not intimidated by playing in that place. And I think the Ravens find a way tonight.
Pete?
Wow, upset.
How about that?
I like it.
You got the Pats, Pete?
Yeah, I got the Pats.
He doesn't like it that much.
Right. Have a great show.
I like your brashness. You're being brash. You're going out on a limb picking them. I'll say this, though. Patriots are favored by 6 points. Everybody in the world has the Ravens tonight in every contest and everything that's going on.
Yeah, I don't think it's a six-point game. Do you, Pete?
I think it's close.
Yeah,
I think
it'll
be close.
Have a great show, Pete.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you next week. Pete Prisco down in South Florida. PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. The Baselli Shadrick wrap-up segment is next. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Final moments, J.P. Shadrick, Don Anthony Baselli Jr. Pete Prisco's out of here.
Did you see the tweet someone sent in about what my initials stand for? D-A-B, DAB.
That's what, like Cam?
Yeah, it's on DAB and a little GIF. Is that what it's called, a GIF? GIF?
Yeah,
is it a GIF or a GIF?
Sure.
Hollywood, is it a GIF or a GIF?
Hollywood.
Can you tell me?
Help us, Max.
You're young.
The first one,
GIF.
He says.
GIF. Okay, GIF.
Yeah. I'd love to see that one of you doing
it. It wasn't me dabbing. It was someone else dabbing. I my daughter makes me dab. It's awful.
Let's see it on Jaguars.com exclusively right here.
No.
Okay.
I'm not doing it.
The Jaguars are 2-11. They have three.
Thank you, JP. Just, heck of a drop
in. Case you listened for an hour and 58 minutes and didn't realize.
Holy cow.
There are three games left, Tony, and they are three division games against three. It's Betty White.
Betty White.
Yeah, nice.
Dabbing.
Three division games against all three teams are fighting for the division. Two of them are on the road.
Not good.
This week, the Houston Texans.
We have not played well in Houston. Did not go well last year.
Tough place to play.
Yeah, we did not. And last year was rough. Rough end of season game. They're not going to cancel him. So as a player, my theory always was you better get going because you're going to play. And if you're not mentally ready and you're not physically ready, it's going to be ugly and embarrassing. So get your butt ready and get out there and compete as hard as you can. That's all you can do.
Eat a Snickers, will you?
I love everybody, even all you knuckleheads on Twitter that say mean things to me. I still love you.
Thanks for the tweets. Thanks for the calls. For Don Anthony Buscelli Jr., Pete Prisco, I'm J.P. Shadrick.
I don't like Pete.
Joe Fortunato, Max Hockman as well. Thank you for listening and watching. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.